All right. I promise we are going to do this. This is take three. I think we got everybody on the line. We're going to do this old school. We got everybody call in because thanks to Blog Talk Radio. And, hey, if you guys are listening, you need to fix these direct connects, man. This is really, really irritating. And we got Ryan on the line. We got Matt on the line. Matt, all you guys might recall, Matt was has been on the show before, founder of Top the Sports, host of Top the Pod, writer of DominateFantasy.com. How you doing, Matt? And thank you for bearing with us over the last, half hour now?
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here. You know, I'm just watching training camp videos while I wait. So, you know, really nothing wrong with that.
We all can use a little extra time to watch some training camp videos. I am on board with that. And everybody, please congratulate Ryan. He is now basically a member of every news outlet known to man. I believe that's Fantasy Pros, NHL Desk that you're a member of now. Is that right, Matt? Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, officially as of earlier or mid-late week last week, got picked up to cover the Tampa Bay Lightning, so pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, so from now on, is it okay, Ryan, if you're just our special guest every week, we'll just say that you're from a different outlet? Is that cool? You know, that way we don't have to worry about booking special guests anymore.
Yeah, I'll just call in as Ryan from a different outlet every week.
All right, let's get serious here because there's enough messing around. Seriously, guys, I will not put everybody through this, but it was a half hour coming. So let's go ahead and get this episode finally started. Okay, so there's lots to talk about, and what we wanted to hit today is your fantasy football drafts. You know, the preseason is just around the corner. Thursday, first game of the preseason, Bears-Ravens, 8 o'clock p.m. So there's lots of things to think about because that means fantasy football season also 1 month away. So let's talk about the number one thing, and that is where you want to be in your draft position in 12-team standard and 12-team PPR leagues. I know for a fact that both you, Ryan, and you, Matt, have been in many, many drafts at this point, and of course have both participated in our mock draft, which is coming out to the website very soon. So let me start with you, Matt. What's your preferred draft position in 2018, and why?
Yeah, I don't know if you just got into my head on the order that you gave me for the mock draft, but I love picking up again. I like picking up the turn, 11,
wow.
12, anywhere in that range. So I actually got the position that I like best.
Oh, that's interesting. So why is that? Why do you like picking at the turn?
I think it's really important to set an early foundation with your team. So I would much rather have the ability to get two guys on the back end, especially this year with the way that the running back depth isn't looking as solid. If I can grab two guys in the back end of that first round, some guys I've been getting pretty consistently there are Hunt, Fournette,
mm-hmm.
Dalvin Cook, Melvin Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get two of those guys, I'd rather have them than just get, you know, a Todd Gurley at the beginning and then have to wait what would be, you know, about 20 picks until he comes back around to get my second best guy. So,
Right. That's an interesting approach to that. So what do you think, Ryan? Do you agree with that? Or where do you prefer to draft after all the experience you've had in the preseason? Where do you expect to – where do you like to draft in the in 2018?
I think last time Matt was on the show, we did far too much agreeing with each other, and unfortunately, we're going to start off that way again. I think traditionally, I like in a snake draft to be in the middle. I like having the balance of, somewhere in that 4, 5, 6, 7 range, and really more the 5, 6, 7 range. There's never too much of a drought between picks, but given the way this year and the tiers have kind of fallen, I'm the same way. You know, I've had a lot where I'm coming in at the end and I'm getting that turn. And if I can get, you know, the combo I've paired a lot together so far, given where they're falling in these drafts is, you know, in 12-team leagues where I'm at the 10th, 11th spot, I'm able to grab, you know, Dalvin Cook and Michael Thomas back-to-back and have those in my number ones in both spots. And so I just really, for this year specifically in the way the classes are, I love the turn pick. I always hate a top end pick because I hate. It's nice having a Todd Gurley, but I hate having to go, you know, 20 picks then before I get to grab my next guy off the board. So for me right now, it's the turn. Traditionally, in most years, it's the middle, and almost never. I always hate being at the top of the draft.
Yeah, so I'm going to agree with you guys, at least with respect to the top of the draft. But how about drafting, like, say, at number 4? I found that to be a pretty good spot because of the fact that you get one of Gurley, Bell, Elliott, or Johnson. And then when you come back around, you have an opportunity, particularly in PPR leagues, but in standard as well, you get an opportunity to get a guy like maybe a Devontae Freeman, maybe a Christian McCaffrey, maybe Jerick McKinnon. You know, none of those guys super exciting, but definitely some upside. Definitely a PPR could pick you up a couple extra receptions. I kind of like that strategy. You guys disagree with that, Matt?
I love picking. If I'm picking early, I want to pick at 4 because I think no matter what, if you're picking in those top 4 spots, you're going to get a really great running back that's
right.
Interchangeable depending on preference. So, yeah, I think 5 is probably the worst spot to draft this year because you're just missing
yes.
out.
Right, right. And you feel like obligated to take Antonio Brown or something at that point. What do you think, Ryan? Would you draft at 4 or are you still thinking of the turn?
Yeah, I mean, if I have to be in the top, I agree. I'd want to be at 4 because, you know, I'll just take whatever one of those 4 guys falls. But for me, again, just in the turn, you know, you talk about even if, you know, Jerick McKinnon lives up to the hype, you know, but if you have McKinnon and David Johnson, I would rather have Dalvin Cook, who I think I think at the end of the year is going to show people where he should be. And if I can get him and Mike Thomas and get an elite receiver, or even, you know, pair Cook up with another back there, whatever the case may be, I like that turn so much better this year. And I think that's just a much better spot to draft up. But yeah, if I'm in the top 4, I want to be at 4.
All right. So that's some good information. Everybody keep an eye out on your draft position. It could definitely impact the way you approach your draft. Let's ring the bell on that and get to our major topic of the day. And that's because the preseason is just only a couple of days away. As I mentioned, we want to talk about the top 5 things that you should look out for in the NFL preseason to help you with your fantasy football draft. So let's start with you, Matt. Give us your number. Let's just count them down 5 to 1. What's your number 5, the thing that you think that people should keep an eye out on at the preseason in order to help them with their fantasy football draft?
Yeah, I got to give a shout-out to, the hometown Baltimore Ravens here. Current hometown Baltimore Ravens are going to be starting off the preseason on Thursday, so very excited for the Hall of Fame game.
Yep.
I'll start it off by saying something to avoid. Don't get hooked on coach talk. I think that's an easy trap for us to fall into. Listen, everybody looks good this time of year, right? And if a coach isn't
right.
talking you up, that's a bad sign. So I think the perfect example of this is I got hooked last year on Isaiah Crowell. You know, I was listening to Hugh Jackson, you know, Crowell's going to get 25 carries a game. He's going to be the workhorse back. And, you know, I picked up a bunch of Crowell shares, and that obviously did not work out for me last season. So that's just kind of a good example of how coach talk can suck you in.
Yep. All right. That is a good example of it. And then obviously another example, Ron Rivera saying that Christian McCaffrey will have 25 to 30 touches per game. Ideally, if he does, he'll be the number one asset in fantasy football. But I don't know if that's going to happen. All right, Ryan, what's your number? What do you think? Let's count it down for 5.
Yeah, so I didn't really put much thought into how I was ordering them 5 to 1, but I'll just say kind of a general – thing I'll be looking at and then kind of working my way down is, you know, obviously everyone knows the trends of when the starters are playing out there. And I want to see, particularly at least for the initial part of the season, a lot of these competitions, you know, who's getting primary carries, who's getting the major workload, who's really running with the ones, and particularly in some of the running backfields that are really clouded. So, you know, I try to take like a 10,000 foot level on that one and just look at it as, you know, this is finally a chance because in OTAs and training camp, as Matt said, you know, you're going to hear a lot of fluff and you're going to get a lot of this guy looks great and this guy came into camp and super in shape and he's had a great practice and, you know, what does 7-on-7 drills tell you? Nothing. And not that the preseason tells you a hell of a lot more, but at least you can see past the bullcrap and the fodder after the game of the coach speak, as he said. And you'll actually see on the field who's taking reps with the first team offense and guys that you think you'll be able to start relying on.
All right. So are there any particular guys in the backfield you have an eye on? Maybe the Kenyon Drake situation in Miami with Cam Ballage or Darius Geis in Washington or Derrick Henry in Tennessee. Any of those actually are things that you're keeping an eye out on as far as backfield timeshares?
So one of my top 4, which you didn't mention, is one of these scenarios. So I'll save that one. But, yeah,
okay.
Derrick Henry in Tennessee, I think, is fascinating to me. just because I think that coming into this year, when they first started to move on and take this over as his team and the production he's had, that people are really high on him. But then you go and bring in a guy like Deion Lewis, and now people are a little bit more scared about Derrick Henry, and you've seen his ADP, at least on draft, you know, come crashing down, which I think is ridiculous because Deion Lewis has been healthy for exactly one full season in his NFL career. That's the exception, not the rule. I mean, this is a guy who's much older than you think because you only think he's played a couple years, but he's going to be 6 or 7 years in the pros now. So, you know, I know he'll be effective in the passing game, but if I see a situation there where Henry's getting a lot of the primary carries and running a lot with the ones, and they're using more Deion as a guy that can move around the offense and using the passing game, and that they're trying to create plays for, which will show me that they're trying to build a role for him because they still want Henry to be the main guy there. So that one I'm super interested in because I have quite a few shares in Henry just because of the fact that his price is so low right now, because people are really, I guess, skeptical of what his workload's going to be.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that in the preseason as well. Matt, why don't you get to your next one? What's the next thing you're looking at in the preseason?
I'm looking at rookie battles here and what I would call kind of fake depth charts. I think, you know, we've heard in the last week here out of Denver, Royce Freeman isn't apparently number one going into this training camp and preseason. Mm-hmm. You know, in Seattle, apparently Rashad Penny isn't the number one. I just heard today that, you know, Todd Bowles is coming out with Sam Darnold as QB3 on the depth chart. And so I'm looking to see how quickly these guys, quote, move up the depth chart. I actually think, especially in Freeman and Penny's case, these guys actually are at the top of the depth chart. But it's a little bit of gameplay. It's a little bit of the coaches kind of, you know, not giving them the job per se. But I'm looking to see how these guys are used. Are they only going to be running backs? Are they going to be used in the passing game? How well is Penny going to adjust to the pass blocking, which I know is the big concern for him. So I want to see. I wouldn't actually doubt if Chris Carson keeps a high volume early in the season, but I cannot see Devonta Booker holding off Royce Freeman in Denver.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point, and that is something that we should all keep an eye on as well. And Ryan, what's your number? What's the next thing you're looking at in the preseason?
Well, instead of bouncing around coming back to it, I just alluded to there was a backfield that I had my eye on pretty strongly, and I know that you know what I'm about to say, given how much we talked about him last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Chris Carson storyline is absolutely fascinating. Yep. I saw somebody tweet out the other day, and I tweeted back and I never heard back, but somebody, one of these writers out here had said something about that people forget that that Chris Carson was only relevant for 15 minutes last year and was only good for 5 of those, which I just absolutely reject. Chris Carson was the best running back on the field in Seattle all 4 of the weeks he was there. And every single game, we talked about this multiple times last year, was, he wasn't, if you go back and break down his touches by half, I think you'll see a huge uptick because this was a guy who would not touch the ball in the first half. They were trying to get somebody else going, trying to feed them the ball. And then for whatever reason, reluctantly would go to Chris Carson in the second half, and that's when he put up all his points. And then you had a situation where they go and now draft in the first round Rashard Penny, and then they turn around, and now they're praising Chris Carson in a way they never did last year. So it just seems so dysfunctional in Seattle.
Right.
It's such a hard thing to read because you don't draft a guy that high and then not start him, but all indications are that they're not going to start him, which is so weird because they were so reluctant on Carson last year. And now that they have another guy there instead, they're propping somebody else up, and it's just the whole thing's really nuts, and it's really hard to predict right now. But I think it's super fascinating because I believe in Chris Carson, and if he gets on the field, I think he's going to have the opportunity to shine again, and I expect him to.
Well, he could be an absolute steal because he's basically going undrafted in most regular standard fantasy football drafts. And Rashad Penny has climbed dramatically. He's now RB22 according to average draft position. So there's a lot to unpack there and keep an eye on. So let's go ahead and flip it back over to you, Matt. What's your third thing that you're looking for in the NFL preseason?
One particular position battle that I'm very interested in seeing, and it's kind of flying under the radar, I want to know what in the world is going on with the tight end position in Los Angeles, specifically with the Chiefs. The void filled by the Antonio Gates retirement and then the Hunter Henry unfortunate injury, it looks like it's going to be Virgil Green's position, but nobody is drafting him. And I've been taking him late in, you know, very deep leagues. And the name is escaping me at that moment, but I know there was an injury to one of the other tight end contenders for the position in training camp. So are they going to go back to Gates late in the preseason and sign him, or are they going to roll with Virgil Green and give him a chance this year?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I guess part of that we're going to figure out in the preseason when we see how he's being utilized and if they are actually going to utilize him in a way that features him as a tight end, because, you know, he hasn't had a real history as far as I am aware of being a good move tight end. And this may be his opportunity, but there have been talk about trying to take Antonio Gates off the streets and get him back in there, and he doesn't want to play for pennies. So that will be interesting to keep an eye on in the preseason. So, Ryan, let's jump over to you. What's the third thing that you're looking at in the preseason?
Yeah, so I'm looking at rookie wide receivers, because I think for the first time in a long time, you know, we're going to be going into a year really not knowing what to expect. This is, you know, arguably one of the worst wide receiver draft classes in the last 10 years. And I think there's, you know, little to dispel that to this point. So I'm interested to see if any of these guys, you know, really come out there and show kind of their role and what they're going to be, you know, who they're going to be. I mean, the guy who obviously I'm most interested in would be DJ Moore, just because I just think that he's surrounded by nothing in Carolina as far as the wide receiver position. And Cam has made chicken soup out of chicken bleep before. You know, he was the guy who finally got Ted Ginn to look like a real receiver. And so there's not a lot of competition there. And I like the skill set of DJ Moore, but it's interesting to see if they're going to be patient and bring him along, or if they're going to roll him out there and he's going to be the number one guy to go right off the top. And, you know, is Calvin Ridley, you know, automatically going to be, you know, second, or is he looking like a guy who's going to trend for second in targets and surpass Sanu in the receiver game in Atlanta? And so I just, you know, I look across the board, and I think that's a, you know, position of, for the first time in a long time, you're going into, you know, keeper leagues or dynasty leagues, and there's just not a lot of really guys you feel confident about at the wide receiver position. So I'm hoping that, you know, one or two guys really have a good, strong preseason to make some of us feel like we can feel confident in some of these guys moving forward.
Yeah, and they can be some real values. Dale, Calvin Ridley at average draft position of 125 at wide receiver 47. DJ Moore at 129 at wide receiver 49. So two of those guys to keep an eye on. And I will actually throw out there, and of course this is in my own interest, Anthony Miller at the Chicago Bears, who is actually 165 and wide receiver 59. So it's maybe some value there as well. All right, let's turn it back over to you, Matt. What's the fourth thing you're looking at in the preseason?
Yeah, so I try to do a lot of dynasty-focused writing and talk a lot of dynasty over on the Top Two pod. So I'm going to say that this is the time of the year for dynasty players. Some of us may have later rookie drafts. You really got to be honing in and watching these rookies. Specifically this year, it's going to be the quarterbacks. If you're looking at which rookie quarterback you're drafting, especially if you're playing in Superflex League where these guys might be going towards the top, you're probably not going to see a lot of Lamar Jackson, potentially not a lot of Baker Mayfield, probably not a lot of Josh Allen on the field in the regular season this year. So you got to be watching the first 2 weeks, really, of the preseason. We know once it gets to week three, we start to see more of starters. So you really got to be honing in on these guys in the first 2 weeks to see what they're going to do. I'm planning on getting some preseason Ravens tickets just to see Lamar Jackson in person.
Yep, and I can say, and although reports are coming out that Joe Flacco is having his best preseason ever, or best off season ever, whatever that means, I guess he's been kicked into high gear. Just FYI, a friend of mine is related to Joe Flacco. apparently, he is taking this very seriously, so this might be a huge wake-up call for him. Maybe he will actually be the guy that they signed many years ago to that enormous contract. All right, let's jump it over to number four. For you, Ryan, what are you looking at in the preseason?
So I went really matchup specific or guy specific in the last two. And the one that I'm really interested in is kind of two guys in New Orleans. Ted Ginn, obviously kind of working as a number two guy last year, had really good production in New Orleans. And obviously Drew Brees in a dome and all that, that's going to be good production. But the hype that's starting to come out around Cameron Meredith, obviously coming off that injury last year, in this offense now. So I'm really interested in those two guys early in the my best ball leagues this year. I owned a couple of Ted Ginn shares, but you know, as the storylines have kind of changed through camp here, I'm kind of tilted on that. So I'm really interested to see what we see. As you know, we obviously know what Mike Thomas and Kamara will mean to that offense, but I really want to see how the receiving core starts to shake up beyond that, and you know, what production we can expect out of those guys.
Yeah, and again, some excellent value there if you want to take a flyer on those guys. Cameron Meredith, average draft position at 152, wide receiver 57, and Ted Ginn all the way down at 204, wide receiver 68. You can get him for a song, so could be a good pickup late in your draft. Okay, let's jump over to you again, Matt. What's the fifth thing you are looking for in the preseason?
All right, I think the matchup that, or I should say the competition that's intriguing me the most, is who in the world is going to win the lead back position in Green Bay. And what I'm kind of leaning towards is that it may not be anybody necessarily winning it. I want to see particularly how they use Ty Montgomery in the preseason, because Montgomery is really my favorite player out of that backfield. I think he has the most potential. I think we could see him moving around in the slot. And then, but he's going last in ADP right now compared to Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. All of those guys, by the way, in about two rounds of each other in ADP. So you're looking at one of the best offenses in football with arguably the best, I would say the top two best quarterbacks in football, and just so much fantasy potential going in the mid rounds. One of those guys is going to lead rosters to their championship, but you know, where are you going to put your money? And right now my money's on Tyma, and I'm interested to see if the preseason is going to change that.
Interesting. That's a really good question, because there was a little bit of a lot up there, and everybody was going Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones, and now with Aaron Jones on the shelf, so to speak, with a little bit of a suspension, Ty Montgomery can make a move, and who knows what's going to happen there. So let's go ahead and bounce it over to you, Ryan. What's the last thing you're looking at in the NFL preseason?
So the last thing I'm looking at, and it's kind of a storyline, and I think you've seen me do this a couple times over the years, but, you know, it's really interesting to me, a guy who I was really high on last year, who then had kind of a disappointing campaign due to injury and whatnot. Now I think is the pendulum swung the other way, where people are way too hyped on him, and this was spurred by that. I know there's a lot of the CBS guys from Fantasy Pro, or from the CBS Fantasy Football Podcast, which I'm forgetting the name of their show now. But anyways, Jesse Eisenberg, all those guys, they were in that big expert draft with Scott Fish, and Corey Davis went high, or like middle fourth round. And it's almost mind-blowing to me, the hype around this guy. And if you remember last year during our NFL, not our fantasy, but the NFL mock drafts we do, you know, I was the guy who selected Corey Davis early in that draft. And then obviously he went much higher than even I expected in the actual draft. And Corey Davis is a guy who I really believe in his skill and his talent. I think he's a big time player, but he hasn't proven anything at the NFL level. People keep overlooking Rishard Matthews, who's all he's done is produce since he's gone to Tennessee. He has, you know, 110 plus receptions, 13 touchdowns, and nearly 2,000 yards. I think it's roughly like 1,700 yards in the two seasons in Tennessee. So it's a guy who continues to produce. You have Delanie Walker who continues to produce. You now have Deion Lewis in the passing game. They have all these mouths to feed. The offense, while it's had its good moments, you know, Mariota hasn't been, you know, hasn't really taken that next step forward and been super elite. So when I look at a guy like Corey Davis who's going there, and Rishard Matthews ADP right now on Fantasy Pros is 140, that's kind of mind-blowing to me. So for me, what I need to see to really buy in on this hype is I need to see Corey Davis looking like a men amongst boys out there. You know, that I know it's preseason, but I need to see him really produce and just really show that he's taking that leap. Because if he's getting selected, you know, in the middle of a fourth round by guys when he really, you know, I know it was marked with injury, but, you know, again, it's just injury isn't his fault. But my point is that you haven't seen it. You haven't seen it yet on the NFL level. So how you can buy in on a guy this high who no one was buying in this high on before last year, and you have all these other guys who do produce in that offense. To me, I just think that that's a really another interesting matchup there in Tennessee beyond the backfield one.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And, of course, Corey Davis right now at an ADP of 69, wide receiver 27. I much prefer taking Rishard Matthews, who it's all the way down to 140, wide receiver 53. I think that is an excellent value there. But, of course, keep an eye on that in the preseason because we'll see some of that play out. So, and that is actually all the time we have today. Thank you, Matt. And I will thank Ryan, although he's here every week, because – man, that was a real tough road getting this up and running. Everybody, that's Matt Hicks that we had on the show today. He is the founder of Top to Sports. Check out Top to Pod podcast. He has great insight. He talks dynasty, he talks fantasy football. This guy knows what he's talking about, and he's from Baltimore, Maryland, so what else could you want? All right, Matt, thanks for being on the show. Why don't you give us your social media so people can follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. Always happy to jump on. Always a fun podcast to come and talk on. Follow me over on Twitter at Top2Matt. I love engaging with fans and analysts alike, so go ahead and give me a follow. Very engaging on Twitter, so let's chat.
All right, and Ryan, everyone, if you don't know, he likes engaging, quote-unquote, with his people as well, so you go ahead and follow him and send him what you really think. Why don't you give us your social media so people can follow you?
I think you just hinted at that I like to troll and fight with people, but regardless, you can follow me
nice about
at you can follow me at Ryan Whitfield NE, and make sure my two shout outs to check out my boys at DraftKingSleepers.com, the social network for fantasy sports, and on our other one, my contact over at SquadQL is actually everyone's saying congrats to him, although I won't throw his name out, has just had twins, so he's out of the office, so we don't have a official copy for this yet. But in the meantime, I'll just say go check out SquadQL. It's a fantasy optimizing application. Help you set your lineups all year long for those of you not doing best ball leagues. So I'll have that sounding much better once their marketing team gets me more. But for now, check out SquadQL.
All right. Well, thanks again, both of you guys, Matt, Ryan. And again, thank you all your listeners who are wasting time with us. You wasted extra time with us today, so I really appreciate that. You can follow me at FB Garbage Time. Until next time, and I mean it this time because there's NFL football this week, everybody. Enjoy your NFL week.